This is the place where Black is the main character, where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction. Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love. And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop and BMF. Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old-school greats and new-school hits. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Morning, DNA. I am Aaron Dyson, the man of a single black shirt. She is Danae Hughes, the woman of a million distractions, and we're here to find out what today, November 7th, 2022, is made of.
A coffee. It's made of coffee.
It's made of coffee. First and foremost, it's made of coffee.
That's your voice for when we start doing role playing on servers together.
Uh-huh. Yeah. One of many.
Yes. Go on, then. What's the next one?
Oh, coffee! Do I get some coffee?
Oh, man, I was really hoping you would just do the same voice, but like a little louder.
Yeah. Welcome to a new week. Thank you for joining us as we head into this new week, our first show of November of 2022. We are glad to see all of you hanging out in the chat. Michael's here. Michael hasn't been here in a while.
Hello. Good morning.
I'm finally able to catch it. Love again. I'm going to assume that was an intentional, not catch it live again. Oh, then you corrected catch it live again. That's fine. We'll, you can catch it love again. You can catch it live again. Whatever works for you, Michael. Danae, how are you doing? How's your weekend? How's stuff?
Man, I am in the last few days before leaving for a little while for a little jaunt, a little trip. So,
are we gonna be live while you're gone at all?
I don't know. I think I'm gonna get there and then test to see how it's gonna go.
Sure.
There's a possibility that the answer is yes, so we're not gonna not try. But you know, follow us on Twitter or Discord or whatever to get updates on that. But yeah, so I am like, I'm doing that thing where it's like, not everything has to be done before a trip, but certain things must be done. So it's like organizing in the head which one. So I'm starting to put the things that I use every day in specific containers. So it becomes time for packing day. It's like, I know I have to take these. Like I feel like I was raised by the mom or the whatever that would just think of everything you could possibly need. And then you pack all of those things. When in actuality, if you do need a Band-Aid, there's probably going to be a way to get one where you're going, you know, stuff like that. Yeah. So I don't need to take everything with me. I just need to take the essentials and also just think logically through what clothing I need to take and then rewash. I don't need to take, you know, multiple weeks worth of clothing with me. That's just silly. So that's where I'm at. It's the mad dash to travel.
Yeah, and then there's me who's like, do I have my single black shirt? I'm good to go.
Yeah, all I really know is that I'm going to be taking clothes that are more winter focused, which is exciting and sad at the same time. Can I tell you something I did that you'd be really proud of me for? So for example, where I am going, there's likely going to be rain and snow, potentially. I don't know. But definitely rain and coldness. Mm-hmm. So I have this pair of boots that kind of come up around the ankle and cinch tight. We might be doing some hiking. So, like, you know, and it's got the rubber bottom part. Mm-hmm. So it's good for movement, especially in wet areas. And the last time I wore them was over a year ago. And I went to someone's house that was living on land. And so I was walking around the woods and I wore these and they were completely covered in mud. So I put one in a plastic bag, the other in a plastic bag, and they have sat there in those plastic bags for over a year. So my plan, which I did, was to let them dry so I didn't have to scrape off wet mud. I just waited over a year to do that. But I did do it. It is done. And I am now ready for taking those shoes with me. So I was really proud of myself, quite honestly. I was like, oh my gosh, finally, these nasty boots are cleaned and ready to go.
Anytime Danae Hughes does any sort of thinking ahead and prep work, we celebrate. We celebrate woo-hoo! The Danae for adulting in those ways.
Yeah.
Anytime the Aaron Dicer does something spontaneous, we celebrate. We celebrate in those ways.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is good. It is good to be ready, especially in a situation like this where, you know, you won't be able to run home.
No.
And grab something.
That's the part too. Like, and behind me is a chaos desk. That's an example of things I don't have to do. I don't have to hyper-organize all of my paperwork before I leave.
Right.
But
right.
I do need to find a couple important things, like passport, potentially, would be very exciting to have. And, like, you know, some other things that are important, like my vaccination card, super important to have. But I got into, like, these side projects. And so, yeah, my one example of doing well is, you know, putting things aside this week to pack and mm-hmm. keeping my packing list light. And then some things not to do is decide to pull out every piece of paper from your filing cabinet, update it, you know, shred some.
Why not, really? Why not?
Yeah, yeah. Side quests are very tempting for me. I had a dream last night about a side quest. Uh-huh. It was insane. You were in the dream, actually, Aaron.
Nice.
Uh-huh. It was awesome and kind of scary. And it just kept getting, like, side quest after side quest after side quest. And when I got back to, like, a safe place, I asked someone for help to find my, I was so lost. Mm. And this person said to me, I think maybe you should work on being less ambitious. And I woke up this morning going, is that true?
Are my dreams giving me therapy? What's going on?
I often don't remember exact words, but I was mm-hmm. so freshly woken up because I woke up 10 minutes ago. I fell back asleep after my alarm. Mm-hmm. It's a great day. Super good morning, DNA morning. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's why I remember it. But it was literally like, I think maybe you're too ambitious. Think the word is ambitious here. Yeah.
I would love to have a conversation on ambition. Ambition is a really interesting one for me because it is so nuanced and because it is such a gray moral ethical word. Like, ambition can be terrible. Like, it can destroy people. The lack of ambition can also destroy people. Like, it's a real interesting one. And I think I've always, as with many things, come down to the idea of how we tie ego to our motivations. So once you tie an ego to ambition, I think that's where it starts to get a little bit iffy. But if it's ego-less ambition, that's a little different. Not that any of us can truly be without ego, but
it was a true dream of, like, if you give a mouse a cookie, Danae version, mm-hmm. you know, where it starts off with something that makes sense to go investigate, and then at some point you decide this is when I don't need to continue to be curious about what's going on, and I need to turn around,
right,
and go back to my family, go back to my core. And this dream did not do that. And everything I was seeing was interesting and unique and like just rich with texture and like history. And I was exploring the most incredible places, but I got further and further and further away. And there was something to look at everywhere and staircases. And just at some point though, like, you need to stop. And so that maybe that's an interesting thing for me to be thinking about for the next little few weeks where I have like a little bit of a break from my norm. I'm getting completely out of my environment. Mm-hmm. And potentially that's one thing I should kind of meditate on is, what is my focus? Like, when do I know when I've gone a little too far?
I think for me, purpose is the better word than ambition. I think it encompasses the more appropriate, healthy way to see goals and achievements and any of that stuff is the idea of, you know, what is the purpose of what I'm doing? And once you lock in on that, ambition becomes less spiky. It becomes less difficult.
I think as a person, I'm potentially, now again, I just woke up, so I haven't had any time to really process this, but like if I am driven by ambition and I don't know purpose, that's a dangerous combination.
Correct. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think so.
So Aaron, what's my purpose? Why am I here?
Oh, I've got thoughts, Danae. I've got thoughts. We can go down those roads if you want. I believe you are here to expand people's ideas. I believe you are here to love people, to make friends with people, and to show all of the peoples that they are loved. And on the podcast side of things, Danae is now doing the zoom in on her face meme.
I don't think you're wrong about that, but that's still too broad, friend.
Your purpose is to have fun this morning talking about things that are on your mind and entertain the people who want to watch us do so.
This is good. This is an actual live example of an attractive bunny trail that could have something important at the end of it, and yet there are other things happening.
That is true. Well, you want to shoot a doe?
Well, I wanted to know how you were. I just took up like all the time talking about how I am. Are you doing well?
I'm doing well. We had dogs for this last week.
Yeah, you did.
That were a journey and an adventure, if you will. They were the best of dogs. They were the worst of dogs. These two puppers were so cute and cuddly and always wanted to be lovey-lovey. They also they needed some attention as far as like, let's just say house training, those kind of things. And so it was kind of that back and forth of, you know, that love-hate relationship that you can have with pets sometimes. Yeah. So
it's like, it's good to know that they're leaving, but you're also kind of bummed like, is someone telling you stuff? Oh, are they helping you?
It was really fine when I had the day to be focused on giving them attention. Saturday was great. Like I was able to be with them. They would chill every time they got up. I just let them out and they'd do their thing, come back in. We'd chill together for a little bit longer. Like it was an easy day. Like if every day was like that, it'd be fine. But that's not the life we all live. Like they have to be able to not have constant attention at some point. So that's been kind of my last week, is focusing on them and just kind of moving into, you know, fall, winter, just, you know, I like where I live now in that I only have to do winter for like a month and a half, 2 months, really, you know, like middle of December, it'll start getting really cold and maybe be cold through January. And then February, it'll start warming up again. And it's like, okay, I can deal with this. So, the winter is always annoying to me.
And it is definitely feeling wintry.
It is coming. I had that thing this morning. I had that thing this morning on my run where I run about 3 miles. And I'll run a mile and a half, you know, one way, and then I'll turn around and come back. So I'm like loving my, I'm like, I'm running great. Like my first mile was under 12 minutes. I'm like, man, I am killing it this morning. Get to the mile and a half mark, turn around and realize, oh, the wind was blowing behind me the whole time. Now it's in my face the entire way back. And I was just like, oh, is this death? I hate life. Why do I have to do this?
Did you really not notice that it was windy on the way? Like, I would think that would be pretty obvious.
No. It's one of those things. Okay, so now a heavy wind, you would notice at your back. Right. But a light to midwind, you don't really feel it on your back.
Okay. It's more like a little tickle that just takes your sweat away and you don't realize it.
Well, it's more just like a helping hand of a push, you know, just a gentle push to keep you going, and you don't even realize what's going on. At least I don't. And then you turn around, it's just like, so
I have so many
running
questions
into it. Yeah, go for it.
What is running?
what is this running that you speak of?
What is this thing that you're doing?
Yeah.
I walk. from my bedroom to my office.
I was going to say walking's great, but just like purposeful walking for distance is great. Just walking around your house is okay, but probably not going to do the trick.
Okay. So as you know, like I'm watching this show that you had talked about a couple years ago, that the challenge, going back through like all these old, it's an awful show. I do not recommend it.
It gets better.
It does not. I mean, I'm still.
You can't say that. You haven't seen the new seasons.
I'm at the part. Okay, that's true. I guess I'm not in the new seasons. But the entertainment of watching people just rip each other to pieces.
Yeah.
Is really ugly, and I don't.
It is, and that goes away.
I don't
for
like
the most part
that stuff, and so I'm still in that. So this is why I don't recommend the show. But it's kind of like when I decided to watch all of Grey's Anatomy to get caught up one time. Like it's just now I'm doing it.
Yeah.
Is it trash? Yeah, kind of. Is some of it interesting? Yeah, kind of. You know, so anyway, I don't remember why I was talking about that now.
It was probably
good
exercise.
Good morning, everyone.
Probably had to do with getting exercise, I imagine.
Oh, yeah, it was. Because sometimes they'll have people that make it to the final who literally are just like models and friends. And then like they don't do anything. They smoke cigarettes. They just like they do what I do. And then all of a sudden they're like, go scale a mountain. Literally go scale a mountain. And I'm thinking like, that's me. I would I would die out there. Like, so I'm about to go on, I'm about to go like adventure and have my friends are like, let's go hiking. And I'm like, yeah, let's go. And I'm like, oh my God, why am I doing this? But at the same time, you know, sometimes you just got to go out there and live a little bit. So I'm going to go out there and just move my body and see if I fall apart. If I make it back, you know, you'll know about it.
And I'm the one that revels in, like, when I got my new personal trainer earlier this year, he's like, okay, we're going to do elliptical today. See if you can keep it above 4.5 for the entire 60 seconds. I was like, okay. And then I kept it above 7.0 for the entire 60 seconds. And he's like, oh, you have cardio. Like,
yes.
You already do cardio. He's like, yeah, I can breathe. My body knows how to get oxygen. So, yeah.
Yes. You are super, super healthy.
But you wouldn't. But if you look at me, you'd be like,
no.
Just try 4.5, man. Just try 4.5.
Aaron and Danae standing side by side. put me in workout clothes and you in sweats would be even better, you know. And I'm just like sitting there like all confident and you're just, you know, like kind of just haunch a little bit more.
Yep.
Nobody would believe that you're like the health god.
Well, that's not true. That is definitely not true.
You have proof of it because of all the doctor's visits you have to do for your heart. Because your heart decided to do
things. My heart stopped, and now I go to a cardiologist every quarter, or maybe 6 months now. And I go in, and they're basically like, you're the healthiest person that's ever walked through here. Carry on with your day. Like, all right, thanks.
It's like the doctors bring in their friends, say, remember what this looks like? Remember these healthy hearts?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
oh,
exactly.
Man. Anyway.
Yeah, okay. So that's been my week.
Well, thank you for telling me. I know that we want to show a dough, so we can transition if you'd like. I just want to, for the visual viewers, please don't judge my desk behind me that you will be seeing. actually, do judge away. This is what the chaos looks like.
Also, Danae today also decided to wear a single black shirt. So right. we are matching. We're twinsies today. Danae.
Although mine have studs on the side.
Mine has a stud on the inside, so, you know, it's pretty similar. Let's move on to the D in A-N-U. We're going to do the D topic, the A topic, and as many U topics as we can get through. So D is the Danae topic, A is the Aaron topic. So Danae, kick us off. What do you got? What do you want to talk about today?
Well, I was talking with Iris, who is starting to learn to read. I mean, she's learning her sounds and things like this right now. She knows her alphabet obviously by heart, but we have favorite books that we're reading. And I found a book that I'd like to read to her. And I kind of like, my question today is, what is one of your favorite childhood books? But really this could just be one of your favorite books that you think has a good message. I'm thinking of my kid's age. She's 5.5. And there's lots of really good books out there. So feel free to, if for those that are live in the chat, talk about a book that you think is a really positive book that's in a different age category. It doesn't have to be a child's book. But I wanted to show you guys this book today. It's called The Good Egg.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of my absolute favorite books. Have you read this one, Aaron?
Yes. Yes.
I thought
good
so.
Eggs, The Good Egg is great. Yes. It's a great egg.
There's just some really cool stuff that authors get to do when they write something and they put it to print. And that is like introduce important thought processes.
Mm-hmm.
And like the books I remember reading as a kid were like the Berenstain Bears, you know, where like little kids are learning to get along, or, you know, just kind of funny.
Berenstain Bears.
Berenstain. What did I say?
The thing that everybody says, which is Berenstain or Berenstain. Berenstain.
Berenstain. Mm-hmm. We're talking about. But this is a book, like maybe like The Giving Tree a little bit, like where it's like at the end, you're like, wow, that was a really good message. But this is kind of like The Giving Tree is weird, because I feel like The Giving Tree is one where it's a message for the adult. The adult is the one sobbing at the end. Mm-hmm. And the kid is like, I understood some of those words and I could read along. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This one I feel like has a really, really good message. And it's kind of like, I mean, it's huge. So I was in Barnes & Noble and I was reading this book, and it's got really huge, fun pictures. And it's essentially about this egg who is worried that all of the other eggs are bad eggs and they're the only good egg.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, the names of all the eggs are Meg, Peg, Greg, Clegg, Shell, Shelly, Sheldon, Shelby, Egbert, Frank, and Other Frank, which I think is hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
And so this our hero of the story is constantly trying to go around and show all the other eggs how to like be better and
be a good egg.
Mm-hmm. And then that egg starts to get stressed out. And so some cracks appear on his little egg head. He goes to the doctor and he was cracking up. He'd had enough. So he decides that he's going to leave, and he goes off on his own kind of adventure. And he wandered from town to town. The hours became days. The days became weeks. Lost track of time. I was alone. And out there on the road, under the stars, I really tried to focus and find myself in what I needed. I took walks. I read books. I floated in the river. I wrote in my journal. I found simple moments to be quiet. I breathed in. I breathed out. I even started painting. And for once, I found time for me. And guess what? Little by little, the cracks in my shell started to heal. My head no longer felt scrambled. I started to feel like myself again. And I've made a decision. I'm returning to my old carton and my friends. And besides, I'm kind of lonely out here. And that was a really good message, but it goes on to say that I will be good to my fellow eggs while also being good to myself. And then when he gets back, he kind of essentially learns that it's okay. It's not like before. Here's what I realized. The other eggs aren't perfect and I don't have to be either. And I am okay with that. The old carton is back together again. We're a solid dozen and it's good to be home. And he kind of realizes that just living with the chaos of other people and what other people have going on, it's not his responsibility to fix it all. And because I tend to be somebody who likes to fix things and point things out, like I'm kind of designed to walk into a room and see the positive and the negative, like places for growth. And negatives is an interesting word. Like if you point something out that could change or evolve or something, people can perceive your opinion as being negative because you want to change things.
So it's opportunities, we say in the business.
Yes. But there's a way to go about that, you know? And so over time, like you as a person can see those things and be gifted, but it's a conflict. And so you end up taking on the stress yourself, or you end up giving other people the stress that they weren't stressed before you got there. So there's just like this really interesting lesson spoke to me as a person. And if Iris picks up on who I am, it may help her too. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if she's going to be this kind of person. She's already a bit of a micromanager. So I have some suspicions. She might want people to fall in line and do what she wants. And so I wanted her to kind of have this lesson. I was in Barnes & Noble. I read this entire book really quickly, obviously, because, I mean, I know how to read. And the words are big.
Great job, Danae.
Thank you.
Great job.
I appreciate that. But I sort of like was stunned by it. A simple message for a kid with really great illustrations. It's written by Jory John and Pete Oswald. And if I can find the illustrator quickly, I will tell you, because they deserve some credits too. Maybe they did it all. I don't know. I just think there's a real power in the messages that we give our kids. And in books, it's even more important because you can stop and you can read it slowly and you can absorb things. Whereas on TV, you're pausing it and, you know, it's a little bit more of a mind meld when you're trying to have a lesson during a TV time. And I wanted to share that with you guys. And so that's what I've done. And I'm curious to see what you guys have to say.
Yeah. Let's see. Castriff says, my favorite childhood books are a series of unfortunate events. They have no positive messages whatsoever. Congratulations.
That's amazing.
Congratulations on your priorities.
Oh my God, I love it. Steven says, I remember reading The Giver in grade school and really enjoyed it. And then I was happy to find out there were more books in the series. Yeah, those are great.
Yeah. Captain Underpants is great.
Yeah?
Yeah. Oh no, hey, Pojo. Captain Underpants is one of those books that revels in just kind of the junior high humor of, you know, things that we don't talk about, underpants and those kind of things. But it also is not, there's also like a real optimism to it.
I never read them.
Yeah.
Those are ones I did not read, but I will trust you because I remember others reading them and really liking them. I think at the time I worked at a bookstore. And they would just fly off the shelves. Kids would come in and they would just snag them up and parents were raving about them. So maybe those are good ones to pick back up.
Lolly says, I really like Roald Dahl. And as an adult, those books are problematic. The writer even more so. Well, that wasn't the question, Lolly. But well, I understand the qualification that you want to put there. I also dig really liked the Roald Dahl books. Growing up,
so, James and the Giant Peach, I think I remember reading, was fun. There's just
in the witches was one of my favorite.
Really clever
books.
About the writing and like I having a vivid imagination.
Yeah,
those books were really fun to read into.
Yep. It is interesting too because there are levels, like there are reading levels, right? Like Roald Dahl is kind of more in the even like Chronicles of Narnia reading level. Like, you know, it's different than The Good Egg, which is, you know, kind of, you know, Brown Bear reading, you know, Brown Bear, what do you see? I see a red bird looking at me, you know, like that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Good Night Moon, you know, Hungry Caterpillar, those kind of kids books.
There's another book that I read quickly and then I didn't pick up, but I need to. I think it's called Your Voice is a Trumpet.
Interesting.
Let's see. Yeah, My Voice is a Trumpet. And there's like a rhythmic one, but it's about how you can use your voice for good, basically. Like, or you can use your voice for, it's a powerful gift that you have and you kind of get to decide what comes out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that might be another really good one. I've also really enjoyed ones that are historical. Like, I know that's kind of silly, but at the same time, a lot of the books are really fun and things like that. But there's some that are like a little quick history of, for my daughter, I'm specifically picking powerful women, of course. Like, let's learn about this person. Let's learn about Harriet Tubman. You know what I mean?
Beasley Moron has a suggestion that I don't think I've ever heard of. I highly suggest The Incredible Worlds of Wally McDougall.
Ooh.
They have fun alliteration titles as well. That sounds great.
Wally McDougall. Okay, I'm writing that one down. Magic School Bus is a very good one. I loved those books. And Iris does watch that TV show. There's a newer version and there's an older version. Although I am limiting the shows that she can watch because there's just so much that's so fast paced. So I might revisit that one when she's a little bit older for pacing purposes, not for content. Dr. Seuss, of course.
Yeah.
Dr. Seuss is really fun for learning to sound out your words as you read as well, because there's fun words that are put together in that material that you know is going to rhyme, and so it kind of helps you to do some sounding out.
Well, in Seuss was great with the message part, too. I mean, Horton Hears a Who is one of the greatest messages
so
we can...
Good.
Yeah, it's so good. Green
and
Eggs and Ham even has a great message.
Green Eggs and Ham, yeah. Like, you don't know. Remember what happened when you finally took a bite.
Mm-hmm.
And then she will hopefully...
Yeah, Seuss is great.
One day.
Clearly great.
One day finally take a bite.
And so is, you know, you mentioned The Giving Tree, but like Shel Silverstein's Book of Poems is... Those are really fun, too. Like...
And I have those, yeah.
Those are good. Did you ever read Where the Wild Things Are? Was that
big one when
you were a kid? Yeah, that's always a interesting one too, because there's so much imagination there, and it almost allows children when they read it to kind of let themselves become a full version of themselves. You know, like it kind of feels about like, you know, these monsters that we hide, and maybe these monsters are just part of us that we need to learn to live with and control. And like, it's actually really deep when you start to think about that book and kind of what it's saying. So, yeah.
Well, that's my thoughts. I'm hoping to put aside a few books that Iris and I can try to read together while I'm gone. And, we, you know, obviously we can video record and stuff. So I'm thinking about going and picking up my own copies and leaving them for her too. So got to find ways to stay connected to the little one while I'm traveling, and reading is a potentially good way to do that. Although she really likes hanging up on me. Really, just anyone, you know, like
she's hung up on me so many times. She is not. Now listen, let's be very clear. She gets this from Danae. Danae is a hanger upper on. Danae is the kind of person, if you're on a phone or a call with her, she'll be like, bye, and she'll like hang up before you even get to say bye. Like,
but why do I need to hear you say goodbye? You know?
Right. Like, it's over. I decided it was over. It's over. Everybody knows we're moving on.
You know, if you're with me on the other side of that, we're going to be friends for a long time. If you're highly offended that I don't linger on the phone for a very long time and do the bye-bye thing.
The bye-bye thing.
Okay, bye. Have a nice day. Oh, no, you too.
Just the disdain with which you speak of the idea of having cordial goodbyes.
No, you're great. No, thank you. Okay. Yeah, just call me. No, that's no problem. Okay. Why? When I can just be like, okay, I'll talk to you later, bye. You know, and then it's just the chaos of Danae is the chaos of Danae. I know I'm going to talk to them again.
Sure.
And I'm on with the rest of the things that I have going on. The chaos.
Yes. I'm just saying Iris comes about it honestly. It is not.
Maybe it's the gigantic red button on the screen that's just calling her name.
Why not hide it? Could be that as well.
This is the place where Black is the main character, where we dive into something new like the latest season of Vim, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction. Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love. And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop and BMF. Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old-school greats and new-school hits. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What about you? What's your topic today, Aaron?
All right, let's talk about it. The A topic for today, have any good technicians coming over to the house stories? There are many times in life when we have to have somebody come into our home who is a stranger to us, but they are there for a purpose. They're there to fix something. They're there to do some work, whatever the case may be. I have one of those situations going on today, and it's one of those things where, okay, I guess I can tell the story many different ways. Let's just start here. Our ice maker has been leaking, I'm going to say, for 15, 16 months. It is just like we just put a towel down. Occasionally the ice will run out and we'll be like, why isn't it making ice? Because all the water's leaking. Occasionally we have to chip giant ice blocks out of the bottom of our freezer because all the water just pools down there and then freezes.
Do you think about it being like a game from The Challenge where it's like, if you don't do it, then you're
yes. Yes. That's how you have to think mm-hmm. about it. We hadn't chipped that ice block out in a while, and last night did. And it was, I'm going to say, inch and a half, 2 inches thick. Like any more, and it starts to interfere with the drawers in there. Anyways, point being, this is typical, Aaron, where it's like, we can live with this. We can replace the towel every once in a while, chip that ice out every once in a while. We're still getting ice occasionally. Like, we can live with this thing.
It'll be fine.
And then eventually you come to a place where you're like, you know what? I don't want to live with this thing. Let's just call somebody and get this done. There's also the part of, so this is another part of these kind of stories in my home, is I'm like, yeah, we can live with this. And my wife is like, I don't want to pay somebody to do it because I can look on YouTube and do it myself, right? And she can, by the way.
She 100%
can. She's incredible at that kind of stuff. The difficulty right now is She is working a full-time job and doing full-time school. So she does not have extra time to look up on YouTube how to fix a broken ice maker and do those kind of things. So eventually we broke, and I called somebody this morning, and they did the thing that technicians do, which is like, okay, here's your window, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m.
No, somebody will be over. That's the whole day.
What is that? That's not a window.
I mean, technically it is a window of time. Technically, no,
it's like removing an entire wall of the house. That is not a window. That is just it's a gaping open wound of time.
It's like a vacation house on the beach where the entire right. wall is technically a door that you can close, but then you can open it up for a breezeway. It's like one of those. Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, 8 to 5, whatever, guys. But it just got me thinking of those weird, interesting, awkward things when other people's, you know, that you've invited strangers into your home, and how does that go? And are they professional, or are they want to talk to you about their personal life? Or, you know, everybody's got those different kinds of stories. So I recently had a guy come in and spray for bugs who hadn't been into our house before, and he wanted to tell me all about his job. Like, he wanted to tell me all about how it works, where he had to spray. And I'm just like, I think I'm paying you to do this so I don't have to have this education.
Yeah.
I don't have to go to school to learn this.
I'm
going to
interrupt you real quick. Is this based on how much time you spend here, or is it like a fee? No. Okay.
Now, to be fair, he was working the entire time. Like, he was just, you know, it was just because he was going around the room I was in. He was just like, while I was there, he had to fill the space, which I understand. Mm-hmm. That's a very human thing to do.
It is a very human thing to do. It is what we do. Like, if we stop talking on our show and just let the silence exist, everyone would start to squirm. Which is kind of fun to think about, actually.
We do hate it. Lolly says, hate it. I'm socially awkward at the best of times. Strangers in the home is worse.
And then also adds, my dog is afraid of men with long beards. So I live in Idaho, and the lumberjack look is big here.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, I have dogs. You know, when anyone comes over to the house,
right.
whether they've known the dogs since the moment that they began existing with us in this household or in other households we've lived in, they just bark a lot. They find it to be their responsibility to let everyone know. And they have, like, they're just in that transition. They're just on that cusp of yippy dog bark and big bark. So sometimes it's just like, it's like just nails on a chalkboard for me, which is the yip. Like, the big wolf I'm used to. I had a St. Bernard and a pit bull, and their wolves were, like, really, like, pronounced. So I prefer the big wolves to the yips.
Yes.
But, yeah. Woof, woof. Yeah, one or two of those, and they're like, ah, that's all I need. These dogs, it's like, I'm going to keep going so that you know that I'm still here. Down here. See me down here? I'm down here. Yeah, I got you. Yeah, those ankles are mine. You know, that's my dogs.
Yeah. Caster says, I had a plumber come and repair a leak in my bathtub faucet. It required him to turn off the water main, but in the middle of the appointment, some power washing company came by and turned it back on because the HOA hadn't notified them. Water came through the faucet handle all the way to the back wall of the tub. Fortunately, there wasn't permanent damage.
Oh, no. What horrible timing. Also, just comical timing. This is, you know, sometimes we'll see this stuff in movies and be like, that had never happened. It does. This kind of weird stuff happens all the time.
Most of those stories come from personal stories.
Oh, my gosh.
That kind of thing.
JCD says, we rarely have technicians over because my dad is a I'll fix it myself kind of guy. The only interesting one is when our recent upgrade with internet required someone to run a wire from a pole with some communication dishes into the house. Yeah, that's, you don't want to mess with that. I mean, my dad is also the fix-it kind of guy, and he might be like, I can do it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we don't mess with that.
Lolly says, Hubs and I had the same day off in summer, so we slept in late. At 9 a.m., I woke up to the sounds on the roof. Our landlord had said they were going to have the roof inspected, but didn't give us notice. So we woke up to random people on our roof. We had to raise a complaint. They're supposed to let us know before coming onto the property.
Wow. Yeah. There's some things I don't miss about, like, the renting situation.
Have you ever had, this is a separate topic, but have you ever had the friend that doesn't have door boundaries? I had a friend growing up who literally would just walk into our home, wouldn't knock on the door. Like, I literally, he would walk into my room and just wake me up in the, like, morning on the weekend or whatever.
Wow.
Like, he had no concept of the idea of this isn't my personal space, so I don't just get to walk in here. Now, granted, part of that could be solved by locking doors, but, you know, it's yeah. one of those things. So.
Yeah, no, I don't think I ever had somebody internally. Well, I do now. She's 5 and a half, though, so.
There you go. It's exactly like that, but with a grown man.
I also have, like, where I'll close my bathroom door. And I have just added, like one of those over the door hangers for like my robe and my towels and stuff onto my bathroom door. So I'm used to just like hitting it at a certain way and it'll close and like latch. But now it stops a little early because of this additional piece of equipment, you know, in the door jamb. Mm-hmm. And it's tight. So it doesn't swing back open or anything. And so I still haven't registered that it's not closed. So my dogs have taken to just, they'll just walk in. Well, what's really awkward is that I'm expecting to see a child's face, you know, and there's no face there. Or like, there's so many people that interrupt me going to the bathroom. It's wild. Like, I could have guests over and I will bet money that one of them will just walk in on me mm-hmm. in the bathroom because, you know, as a mom, you don't get time to yourself unless your child's at school.
No.
So, no. But it's like, you guys too, dogs too, you guys can't just leave the door alone either. Like, I'm okay in here. I'm fine. No right. one needs to check on me.
Yeah.
Give me some space. I just got a toot.
I just am reminded of the same person who came over to spray also telling me a story that I didn't ask for, but it was clearly in story mode. He had asked, well, it was related. He had asked me, you know, hey, is anybody else home? I was like, no, it's just, you know, it's just us or whatever. And he was like, yeah, he's like, I was at a guy's house and I was like, anybody else here? He's like, nope, nobody's here. And then I go into their bedroom and there's his wife. Whoa. And I was like, hey, that's on you, man. You told me nobody else was here.
Oh, my gosh. Like, the stories that
they have.
I think
he said, in all her glory. I think that was the phrase he used. There's his wife in all her glory.
I mean, the stories that any of these people have going into homes, it's got to be just
the
strangest thing.
They must have stories
thing,
like that,
you know?
Yeah.
Like, the most awkward one for me is recently, but I had a heating and air conditioning people coming over, and I missed the first visit. And on their first visit, they were kind of instructed like, we're just going to replace our unit. So go ahead and leave. And they didn't actually tell us what was wrong with the unit in the first place. So by the time I'm involved, I have questions like, well, so now that we know that this new heating and air conditioning unit costs like $75 bajillion.
Right.
How much does the repair cost? And because they hadn't done the analysis on the repairs, they were unprepared for that question. Called in the repair person again. So now we're just, they come over to the house and they're like children. And this is one way that I know that I'm aging, is that people who are now professionally hired by companies look like teenagers to me. And I'm just like, I forgive me. Can I talk to an adult? Because like, I hated that when I was in my 20s. Like, I hated not being taken seriously. But this person, this professional young person said to me that they quote, yeah, I really don't like giving quotes about this stuff, unquote. And that's really when the visit turned awkward for me mm-hmm. because it's just like, oh, you're also so young that I now have to teach you how to do your job. So let's have a quick chat about why you're actually here at my house, which is to give me a quote. And if you don't want to do that, you're going to have to figure something out because I need to know how much the repairs are going to cost. That was a really awkward visit because I was just, you know, like when you're told that your repairs are going to be upwards of $30,000 and you're just like, I don't believe you. I don't believe you. And I now want you to go. Mm-hmm. By the way, I called somebody else and they fixed it for under $200. So I didn't believe them for a reason.
It is true. It is true.
That's the most awkward. Usually it's like an in and like it's fine. I'm probably the chatty one that they're like, Kent, lady, stop talking. But that one was awkward because it was it was uncomfortable because they didn't want to do their job while they were there, mm-hmm. you know? And it's like, wow, so I don't know why you're here.
Yeah. Michael says, I met one of my fellow tenants when I had a plumbing issue I didn't realize until after my landlord told me. So, yeah. There you go.
Yeesh.
Let's see. This is interesting. Doc says, having grown up in a Christian household, we moved around a lot. We've had people who were like, let's use the church to move our stuff, help with yard work, and so on. That way we can save money, even if we can totally pay for it. Don't do this. It's a crappy thing to do. There's an interesting shift that can happen in a community where a healthy community is like, let's help each other out. This is healthy community living. Healthy community living is let's band together and help somebody out. Let's band together and help them through this tough situation. Let's band together and help clear the leaves from their yard. Help, you know. Mm-hmm. And then there's this shift that happens where people take advantage of that. And then there's people who like, hey, come mow my lawn. Come do my, I live in a community with you. Come do my thing. And it's like, that shifts the entire onus of the idea of service and helping and the idea of lending a hand. Because at that point, it becomes... inappropriately, the motivation becomes inappropriate. So it's tough.
Yeah. Healthy community is something that though you don't really get to define for yourself until you're older. So right. if you're raised in it, you know, that's just something that you're kind of introduced to. And when you're a kid, you're like the labor in those moments where I think the intention is often, you know, kind of good, but at some point it's, yeah, there's like a given and take.
And Doc does clarify. It's okay to ask for help. That is a great clarification, Doc. It's okay to ask for help, but then there's taking advantage of people. Mm-hmm. Finding that line can be difficult because you are right. It is okay, especially if you live in a healthy community. You should be encouraged to say, here are my, you know, my needs. Like, there are too many people who live their lives not getting help that people would love to give them because people don't know. So yes.
Yep.
But that line between where it's taking advantage does get crossed.
Yeah. And the burden should definitely be on like the church to kind of have some qualifying questions about that sort of thing. And that's just, you know, not always the case, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, I think anytime you go over to someone's house, you know that there's going to be interesting things either as a person arriving to assist or the people inviting. I will say also, just so I don't realize that when people come over, like work people, I always feel like I'm supposed to like help take care of them a bit. I'm like, do you guys have water? Do you have food? Do you have, can I get you a drink? You know, like, so kind of a funny thing where they're like, no, I don't know you.
That's probably better than me. The furnace is that away. I'll be in my room. Yell if you need something. That's how I do it. I'm just like,
yep.
Mm-hmm. I'm just like, you do your job. That's why I'm paying you.
Well, are you ready to go into the you question portion?
Let's do it. Yes.
All right. Go ahead.
We are going to hit the you questions. So as you might, I guess, surmise from the idea of them being called you questions, they are questions from you. If you put the letter U in front of it, it helps us to identify those even quicker. We will get through as many as we can. These can be questions about stuff that you've seen in the news that you want our opinion on, stuff that you maybe are having a debate about with someone else and you want to know what we think. Curious
the
questions
winner's
you
opinion.
Have,
oh, wait, sorry.
curious questions you have about us as people. Whatever you want to ask us, everything is fair game. You can ask whatever you want. Doesn't mean we'll answer every single question asked of us. But
and just to clarify, we're not professional advisors.
Correct. Yes.
This is just our
entertainment purposes only, as
hopefully
they say.
It helps. We wanted to help. But I remember watching.
For entertainment purposes only, the lawyers
say. That's true. For entertainment purposes only, as long as the solution entertains you purposefully.
Right. That's right.
I remember watching a movie with my dad. It was Dolly Parton called Straight Talk. In this movie, Dolly Parton goes to a radio station, and even though she has no experience whatsoever, ends up becoming the doctor on the show that people call in and get advice from. I don't know if this was the origin of my want to do this, but I love talking to people about ways of thinking about things or like new perspectives or something. And yet I never wanted to go to become like a counselor or like, you know. I could probably just get a life coach certification by paying $120 on some website.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, exactly.
But I don't want to do that. I want to be like someone who actually takes the courses and stuff. But I've always been somebody who's given advice or ideas. Mm-hmm. And I love it so, so much. Probably because I'm an egotistical maniac. I don't know.
I think my way is right, and everyone should do it my way.
I'm not saying you should. I'm just giving an example of an option.
I'm just telling you your life would be a lot better if you listened to my way of doing things.
Do what I say. So I just
let's talk about ambition again, shall we, today?
Yeah. I just think it's funny that this is part of our show now, is just like this kind of like moment where we get to sort of share our opinions and stuff, because sure, it's such a weirdly positive outlet for me. Mm-hmm. And I feel like Dolly Parton on Straight Talk, which is dangerous because she gives somebody advice and they end up hurting themselves. And then, you know, it's really not a great movie. I haven't watched it since I was a kid, though. So I've just heard from other people who've watched it in their adult life. It's like, yeah, it's not that great. Not that great.
Danae, pick our first question.
Okay. Steven, earlier when we were talking about being on the phone and just hanging up on people, says, so texting Danae is better? And the answer is no. I'm sorry. I'm a complex. Yes, you can text me. I despise texting. Emails are not great either. I prefer phone calls, actually.
Been great for our friendship, since phone calls are my least favorite form of communication.
This is the only time that Aaron and I talk anymore. Is this show. And you know what? It's great.
It works
fine. In person is best. I love in-person conversations, but that just obviously, as time goes on, becomes impossible for, you know, keeping up with everyone. So for me, texting is definitely the best option, but speak to text has been a really huge benefit, and especially now that they're adding in punctuation really well. So I have pretty accurate replies that I can get my thoughts out pretty quickly, and I'm not stuck to my phone, you know, just doing the whole thumb dance thing. And really, it's just I have to stop what I'm doing and then reply to it. And as silly as that sounds, this kind of like last few years of my life has been like strapping myself to a rocket ship. I am so constantly, there's something happening all the time. So the disruption of communication, which is important and valuable, I can only do it so much. So it's got to be kind of like important. Like I don't like getting Wordle updates. You know what I mean? Like if you text me something with your Wordle score, I'm just like, cool. And then I have to go back to my thing. I'm not going to be like, oh my God, I know this is super important to you. Congratulations. I just ignore it and move on. But the best way to communicate with me is text. I'm just not a really great texter backer.
It is true.
I'm sorry.
It is true.
I'm not.
Don't expect a text back from Danae unless you specifically ask for one. Like, because Danae treats it just as information. Okay, I have that information. Yeah. Now I move on with my day. I don't have to text back, okay, or, no, you know, got it, or whatever.
No, there's a blue check mark. You know I got it.
That's right. You know I saw it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's, if there's conversations to be, like, if someone's just like, hey, just tell me the plans this weekend, I'm not responding to that because I don't know my plans for the next hour. I will eventually get to that. And if plans for a weekend is important, then maybe I should respond with like, you tell me, and then that's it, you know? So yeah. I could definitely get better at this. And I'm hoping that once I kind of, the busyness of the burst of activity and all of the things to look at, like talking about the dream earlier about just ambitiousness and trying to figure out what to focus on, I'm still not quite there yet. I'm still trying to figure out what do I focus on? What am I supposed to pay attention to and let the rest go away? And probably one of them should be my friends who actually are communicating with me. So the good thing is that they love me, and that's, I'm relieved by those who love me despite my idiosyncrasies.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Aren't we all? Aren't we all?
I love how Beastly Moron just said more and more. I'm realizing Danae is chaotic neutral, 100%. Yeah, I am chaotic neutral. I think I'm probably chaotic good. I'm good. I think chaotic, I'm on the good side, yeah.
Yeah, chaotic.
I guess it depends on the day. I don't know.
All right, what next?
Well, that was mine. Do you want to pick one?
Oh, sure. I can do that. JCD says, I thought Danae was here to sow chaos. I don't know why that's in the you questions, but it is.
I thought it was a fun thing to return to.
Yeah. Yeah. That is your purpose.
Chaos. My purpose is to sow. You're not wrong. Yeah. There has to be that person that just says something, even if it outs them as a bad person. And I hope to be that person that just gets real with you guys, because I always appreciated listening to people who could ask themselves the hard questions, like, well, what if I am the bad guy here? Like, what if I am the one that needs to really be called to the carpet? Yeah. Now, getting me to the carpet is a trip, but you know.
because all you have are hardwood floors.
Right?
Question out of curiosity says, JCD, is there or would you be willing to have a place for you questions for people who can't make the live show? I thought this was a good question. I'm not sure where we would have people put those other than maybe tweeting them to us. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, podcast listeners would be who I would assume you're kind of thinking about, and thank you for doing that. If there was somebody that listens to the show who doesn't get to come on live and has a question, probably email, I would say. You can email Danae@studiodna.media. You can email Aaron@studiodna.media. And you can always ask your questions that way. That's the fastest way to get to us if you don't have social media. Mm-hmm. And then I'm sure we could pin it and put it in our show notes. So
yep,
that would probably be the best way.
Absolutely. You want to pick one?
Yeah. Here's another one from JCD. If you won the Powerball, what would you do?
That's over a billion now, right?
It's over a billion. Yeah.
That's insane.
What
do you do with $1 billion?
Well, that's the question. First I would wait until I got my actual check.
Right.
And then of course I would start going through my list of people that I feel a sense of responsibility for, whether real or not. And I would begin to just try to make sure that they were cared for, whether that's clearing debt. I think that's the first thing I would start doing, is just clearing people's debt that I, you know, when you're on planet Earth and you're trying to find your tribe and you link arms with people as time goes on, you know, I want to elevate, I want to bring them up. And money is just one of those things that is a huge reliever of concerns, mm-hmm, and pressure. And so I would just try to level that playing field. My parents, I would put money away for them to make sure that not only they have their house paid for, but like, what does the next stage of life look like for you guys? Thinking about their care and what they might need as they aren't able to work anymore and things like that. So I would really start to set up my family, honestly, and that's my entire family. I don't think I would exhaust the money after going through my entire family and making sure that everybody has what they need. And if I had some more left over, obviously savings and stuff would be nice. Just, you know, I'm going to be the old mom for Iris. So I want to make sure she's okay and has resources when she gets older. So I'd probably try to hire some lawyers and put up some trust funds for her that kind of drop into her, so she kind of knows that at certain stages of life she's got some relief coming her way. I would do boring shit. I mean stuff.
I would also do boring stuff. Pretty much same answer. I think it is really, I would build an indoor water park for myself. Okay, moving on to the next question. Just kidding. It's boring answers all around.
But next question, are there more doors or wheels in the world?
It's a good thought experiment.
Is this like a philosophical question? Like, is the idea people build doors, they build walls between us, but some people build wheels to get to each other?
How many wheels don't include doors?
How many doors don't include wheels?
Lots. Of doors don't include wheels. I guess the place where you would find, if you're talking about, we're just talking about wheels. We're not talking about all round. Like, we're not talking about gears. We're literally talking about wheels, right?
I want to welcome Beastly Moron to the show, where we take a simple question and we turn it into the deepest conversation.
Well, this is what Beastly Moron wanted.
They need to have an axle attachment ability, right? Like, you have to.
Right. Yes.
It's not a circle that can technically roll.
Correct.
It's not a sphere. Correct. It's a wheel.
Doors are a much more expansive category of thing. A door is anything that leads you from one environment to another. But
is it a closing door or is it a doorway?
Yeah, I mean,
closing door.
You need the actual door, like a door that closes.
A handle.
Otherwise, lock. It's just an opening. Yeah, yeah. But I mean,
some people say like the door is to the right and it's just like an archway.
I'm just my question is, how is it possible that there would be more wheels? I'm racking my brain to figure out where the wheels without doors are that I'm missing. Like, a semi truck has, 18 wheels, right? And two doors.
Yeah,
no, three, because you have to include the door, for the trailer or whatever. So
my question is, does the door to the gas tank count? Because that's like a little door.
Does.
Okay. Also, are we talking about wheels that are in motion? Are we talking about wheels that are just created in our warehouses waiting to be put onto vehicles, for example?
Those would count as wheels. I think we can count those as wheels.
I mean, we both know the answer. Let's say the same time. One, two, three. Doors.
Yeah. Okay. There's way more doors than wheels. I'm trying to consider what I'm missing here. But I think the answer has to be doors.
Here's one from Lolly. When you need to recharge, what is your go-to self-care to refuel and take a break?
Good question.
This is a really good question. I like getting out of the house. I love just getting in the car and driving, although gas and stuff makes that less of a luxury or more of a luxury and less of just something that I get to just do without thought. You know, when I remember when gas was only $1.99. But I like the way that I feel when suddenly I can't sense the presence of people who need me or I'm not tethered to, like when everyone knows I'm off the grid, no one needs me. Everything is taken care of. And it used to be before Iris, it was just like projects and stuff. But now a big one for me is Iris, just being able to kind of like step back and walk into a new environment and not have to have any responsibility. That's when my recharge starts, because then everything I'm engaging with is just like almost figuring out what coordinate is. And that's a really powerful thing. Nature is really big because there's not really a lot of distraction. You really kind of find yourself thinking about the little things and the big things on a planet, like on the planet. And so there's a lot of things to kind of consider just on a nature walk. But I also like going into antique shops and just really thinking about history and what one spoon has been through and how I need to respect that every single thing has a story, which is very overwhelming sometimes. But it, for me, kind of refuels and reminds me like what I'm here for, which is a thing I'm really needing to dig into these days.
I think there are two answers to this question for me and probably for most people. I think there are answers that involve noise and answers that involve the lack of noise. And the noise answer for me is watching a TV show, watching, you know, a reality show I love or a TV show I love or a movie I love, although movie gets a little bit more into work for me for various reasons. But the non-noise answer is mindfulness. And I think it is one of the life skills that we are not taught enough, the idea of mindfulness and the idea of taking time to really be quiet and listen. And if you're a person of faith, you may say pray, you may say, meditate, those kind of things. I think at least weekly, daily is probably better, but to really find a nice chunk of time to separate yourself from all of the things that are just pounding in on you and just breathe in and breathe out and just practice mindfulness. There are some great apps for this. If the prayer aspect of things is weird for you or just not, you know, who you are. But mindfulness is a really big one.
I just got so stressed because whenever I think like, oh, I'm going to get this relaxing app on my phone, and then I start to get on my relaxing app and then all the notifications and stuff, I'm just like, oh, no, I'm not relaxed anymore. Now I have 100 things to think about.
Yeah.
Here's one from Angry Ostrich. What are you watching in your free time these days? So for me right now, I'm watching this trashy show called The Challenge. It's a show that originated with like really trashy MTV reality TV where you put people together, you get them drunk, and you hope they have sex and fight.
Yeah.
Right?
And yeah,
that's
exactly.
That's the model.
That was the show when it started. Yep.
And then they're like,
and then maybe do a few challenges.
But let's give them like a challenge. So we're going to tie them together with a bungee rope and a hook on both sides, make them run around this pole, and whoever can get their hook onto the other thing fastest is going to win.
And we'll let them win like an MP3 player.
Yes.
Or something.
You've just won this iPod. And you're like, oh my God, an iPod. So it's like early days. It's really weird. And also, they take you to a different country. Probably because insurance is easier to get when you're in like completely off of the grid. And so they're doing the most insane things like eating challenges where they're eating things you probably shouldn't eat. Like they're just doing all the stuff to get to the end. They fight. It's just super trashy. But the reason that I'm watching it is because Aaron tells me that, and I'm blaming you, yes. Aaron tells me that it's going to get better. And I just, I don't know when, but I am many, many, many seasons in. So I'm super dedicated. I'm dug in like a tick at this point.
You're close. You're close to when they start like not letting them drink as much and
but like,
that kind of thing.
For real, there's people that, not only is it just like people like getting into fights, but they say the most horrible things about each other. And there are some pretty strong personalities that win a lot that I despise. How they talk about women, how they talk about other people, just they just openly use people. It's really hard to watch. Why am I watching? I don't understand it entirely, but I think it's kind of like when I started to watch Hoarders and I was like, I'm morbidly curious about this. And also, I just don't ever want to get this far. So like the challenge for me is I don't want to become this kind of a person. And then also there's these personalities. I'm just like, I wonder what they're doing these days. And I wonder what they're up to because I'm watching them when they're 20 and that's like been 20 some years ago or whatever. So like
some of them are still on the challenge, by the way.
What are they doing and how is this working? And there's like a girl that shows up really early on and she had lost some weight and she's just wanted to try the challenge. And now like 5, 6, 7 seasons later, she's actually like trying to win. And it's just like, oh, this is a really interesting thing. And because it's reality and they're real people, it changes it. It's not like watching all the Simpsons seasons or something. These are like real people. So
I will tell you this, if it gives you any hope. My wife was watching an episode of this new season of The Challenge that's out, and she turned to me and she said, this is really healthy, mature stuff. The show has a byline of a couple that were almost married. They're both challenge players. Broke up and haven't seen each other in years since the breakup, and now they're on the challenge together again. And the way the show is handling it is really kind of amazing. So I think the show has made a shift to understand its responsibility for the people that are participating.
I'm in like season 26 or something. Yeah. Paramount Plus doesn't have all the seasons, so I know that there's some that I'm missing in between, maybe where someone else owns the right to them, and I don't remember what season it started off with, but they don't care about the people. They care about the drama, and it's really evident that that's the case, and so that's always a little difficult, but that's the one I'm watching, and like for good or for bad, that's the one I'm watching. I'm also watching the season of Ink Masters, also on Paramount Plus, and it is incredible. I highly recommend that one because some of the artists this year are truly magnificent, and some of their challenges that they do are really cool to think about. They did this one challenge where they mixed gunpowder and sand together, and then they ignited it to where the gunpowder burned itself into the actual canvas that they were doing, and they didn't know until they literally blew it up if their art was going to survive. And they had to think about how if they put a concentration of gunpowder in one area, it would make it darker. So it was all about like light and dark, and nobody had ever done it before. So they were just, obviously very out of their element, but they're used to thinking about their artistry from light and dark perspectives and shadows and, you know, light sources and everything like this. And it's just a really cool season. Very, very clever stuff that they're doing. And I like Ink Master. There's a lot less drama this year too. There's a little bit of drama, but it's mostly focused on the art. And that's what I like about that show. So that's also on Paramount Plus.
I am surprised. I'm not surprised because I actually get, again, I did the same thing with The Challenge. I binged all those early seasons. And part of the thing The Challenge does so well, unfortunately, because so much of those seasons are trash, is it brings people back every season. So it's an ongoing character story, right? Like it's an ongoing, oh, this person is doing this now. Survivor is the better show, hands down. Like the stuff about, like Survivor is an incredible show. It's well produced. They've cared about their contestants from the beginning. It's smart about how it handles big topics, and it's really engaging. That is also on Paramount Plus. All the seasons are there. That is also a fun binge watch if you've never been into Survivor, to go back to the beginning and watch a lot of those old seasons. Yeah, for me, I have so much stuff on my list that I just look to see what's next on my list, and I start watching that. I literally have a spreadsheet that tells me what to watch. So, and the only question I ask myself is, am I more in mood for drama right now or something light? And that, you know, I have a list for both. So,
oh, there's so much of that, so much everywhere. Yeah. Great, great question.
Yep. Yep, good stuff.
All right, your turn to pick one.
This is amazing. Lots of you questions today.
I know,
I just got a notification that the repairman is on their way.
It's a beautiful day.
Let's go with Medina here. You topic. How do you tell and or support a friend when they had made a large bad purchase?
Man, some people got to learn their lessons, you know? That's really for, like, my mom and dad. I love you guys, and I know that you listen to the show, and I'm not slamming you. They will make a purchase that I'm just like, why did you do that? But they have it in their mind, and they didn't ask me for opinion beforehand. So the only thing I can do really is just go, if you want my opinion about this. So usually what I'll do is I'll be like, hey, you know, and that's my family, not a friend. So you made that call, you got a plan for how you're gonna, you know, like, pay it down, or what do you think? And they've always got a plan, and I'm like, okay. And if they see my face and they're like, well, what do you think? Well, then I'll, you know, answer their question. But if they don't ask for my opinion, it sucks. But sometimes they just got to learn, you know, in a way that maybe they should have done a little more research or something. Try to catch it before the purchase and offer your, like, do you need help research on ideas? And just, like, interject, like, yeah, when I was doing this before, I almost, you know, bought something at like 17% interest, and that would have been terrible. You know, like, that way maybe they don't know what they're doing is a bad idea. But if it's afterwards, not much to be done, I don't think.
It's difficult. It's always difficult to talk to somebody else about how they use their own money. The problem is sometimes it's how they're using money they don't have. That's where it becomes really difficult. Things that people go in debt for is... Man, I don't know how to handle that. You know, I hope I've taught my children. I certainly think of my children with a question like this. You know, one of my children will buy, you know, an expensive something or other when, you know, they have an insurance payment coming up or whatever. And for me, I go, well, at least they're not putting it on a credit card. You know, they're literally paying their own money for it. And then I just try to remind them, when the pain hits down the road, why the pain is hitting. This is why the pain is hitting right now, because you made this choice a month ago and tried to develop that idea of forethought, you know, which is a tough one. So money and learning about how our resources work is one of the places, one of the life skills, again, that we just are not taught enough. Debt is such a terrible... The stats on debt in America are... they're debilitating. They're depressing. Like, the fact that most Americans have a negative, value, you know, a negative personal, it's not personal value. What's it called? Anyways, it's wild to me. And I just, you know, there are very, very few forms of quote unquote good debt, very few forms. And some would say there are none. I'm not in that boat. I think home debt, if handled appropriately and based on what you're making, is a good debt, is a positive debt. But other than that,
net worth,
net worth was the word I was looking for. Yes, thank you. The most Americans have a negative net worth because of all the debt. It's just wild. And debt is looked at in so many circles as the way you get ahead. Oh, it's okay that I'm going hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt because my business is going to take off. And there have been stories about, you know, people who started in garages and just maxed out a bunch of credit cards and now they're wealthy. And it's like, yeah, but that's one story. And that person got lucky in this way, in this way, in this way. And you are so much better off to live within your means, figure it out, make money however you can, you know, make money and live within what you make.
But I like that Medina said, and support, you know, like if someone's made a mistake, sometimes, and when they know it, the last thing you want to do is like really point it out a lot. So, you know, if they're like, man, I can't make this payment, or now I've bought this thing, it's falling apart. If you want to offer support, one thing you could do is just be like, yeah, let's figure out how we can get this solved. So whether it's trying to get it sold and you just take the hit, now you don't have that thing anymore and you're just paying down the debt of it. You know, like maybe they bought a car, it's only worth like half of what it is. Get it out of your life and pay down that debt. Get it out. Like, let's fix the problem. Let's do it together. come up with ideas for a side hustle that can make a little bit of money. There's so many side hustles. I get like notifications all the time about side hustles. And of course, it's a little bit ridiculous. It's like, you know, how to make $3,500 a month on the side hustle. And you click on it. And it's just like, I don't want to do that. I got a notification the other day that was literally like, you're never going to believe what this person does for an extra X amount of money a year. And it's a company that you give them your poop sample for research. Mm-hmm. And they pay you like $300 to $500. And what this article did is it said, so if you poop every day, then and they take your poop sample, that's X amount of money every year you could make. And I'm like, that's not what this company is paying for. They're not paying for one person to poop every season. Anyways, so there's things you can do to try to give them ideas of how to get out of it. And I think hope is really important. Like,
yeah, that's a
mistake has been made. Let's find a way to get through it.
That's a crap way to make a living.
Right.
That's terrible. All right. The repair person is 5 minutes away, so we should wrap this up. I do want to just say that Medina's question has birds at the beginning and end of it. I'm assuming that's in relationship to the purchase of Twitter by one Elon Musk.
Medina, I read something that Twitter loses about $4 million a day right now.
Let Elon know, since you're obviously friends, what we said, and hopefully that'll have some impact.
And if you're friends and you want it, that's good for you.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you guys for the show, for being here while we record and we do what we do, for asking questions and for, you know, having fun with us, whether you're watching on Twitch or YouTube, we really appreciate you guys, or Facebook. There's some that watch on Twitter. Hi, Elon. For those that are hanging out on my Twitch channel, I'm going to go send you guys over to Venus World today. Please watch the commercial. There's like a little commercial that airs. She is a independent singer-songwriter in England, and I just think she has a really beautiful setup, a really beautiful voice, and a great personality. She's got like 68,000 followers on Twitter or something like that. So she's really, really talented. So we're going to go over there. She's a sweet, sweet person. But if you're feeling more like you want like a little jazzy vibe, Selecta 70 is on today. And I love watching Selecta 70. But I've got Venus in my ears right now, and it's like this nice chill vibe. So hopefully you enjoy that. And we will see you hopefully next Monday. But again, watch our socials in case that shifts and changes, because I will be traveling and you never know what's going to happen.
Correct. And lots of holiday stuff coming up. So yeah, just stay in touch and we'll let you know when we're going to be live. So we'll catch you on the next Monday or Sunday.
Bye. Thanks for tuning in to listen to us shoe another dough.
If you'd like to watch the show live, we stream it on Mondays and Sundays at 9 a.m. Central on all major streaming platforms. Subscribe, follow, join the conversation on YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, or maybe
you can also be a member of Team DNA. Members get their own custom podcast feed that will include not only the Monday show, but all bonus shows we do through the rest of the week. Membership is $5 a month, and you can join today at patreon.com/studioDNA.
Finally, thank you so much for being a part of this fun little community of awesomeness. Remember, your quirks aren't bugs, they're features. Find them, celebrate them, and know you're loved and valuable for just being you.
See you next time.
This is the place where Black is the main character, where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction. Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love. And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop and BMF. Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old school greats and new school hits. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.